Well, we've been following Jesus through Mark's chapter 10, where he's been exploring the kingdom of God and the ways it turns everything in the world upside down and wrong side out. Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is where children are highly valued because of their ability and desire to trust and follow him. Then Jesus teaches that the kingdom of God is where rich people who are unwilling to become unencumbered in this life by selling their possessions and giving to the poor will have difficulty entering into the next life, or meaning the first will be last and the last will be first. You would think that by hanging out with Jesus for these past 3 years, that at least the disciples would have had this figured out, but guess what? They didn't, and all too often we don't either. If you grew up with at least one brother or sister, then you are more than familiar with the concept of sibling rivalry. The Bible is full of examples of sibling rivalry. Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Mary and Martha, and that's just to name a few. But of course, rivalry isn't restricted just to families, just to brothers and sisters. You've heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. In the suburbs, many families try to keep up with their neighbors. We see exaggerated examples of this in all sorts of movies. One specifically comes to mind, a holiday movie called Deck the Halls with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito. They are neighbors who live across the street from one another and who both have always wanted to be known as the Christmas guy. So in this peaceful town of Cloverfinch, they end up trying to outdo each other with outrageous outside Christmas lights and decorations. Danny DeVito's character actually says that he wants enough lights on his house that it can be seen from outer space. Unfortunately, it doesn't just stop with keeping up with the Joneses. We end up wanting the next big thing that will make our lives easier or more organized. Or we want to take advantage of that next great deal that comes along, or be the first to get the next version of whatever we already have. Which iPhone are we on now? You would think by now the disciples would be immune to this me-first-itis, a disease caused by an inflamed ego which eventually leads to a hardening of the heart. Now, I won't spend a lot of time diagnosing the many symptoms of this disease, but let's just say it usually starts within, from a place of fear. So here are the disciples arguing among themselves over who will be seated at the right hand of Jesus in glory. A better way to understand that is who will be considered Jesus' favorite. See, back in those times, to sit at the right hand of the dinner host was to sit in a place of honor. It meant you would be seen by everyone, and everyone would know you were important. And it appears that's where the disciples wanted to be. And that's how they wanted to be seen in Jesus' eyes, as important. But sometimes isn't that what we all want, to be seen as important? But think about that. Here these men are in the presence of the living Christ. This man who's been sharing with them the mysteries of the kingdom of God, giving them a glimpse of the future that God has in store for all of creation. And instead of being fully present in those moments, instead of relishing the opportunity to hear Jesus preach and teach, they have moved on ahead. Instead of hanging on his every word, they are completely absorbed in their own agenda, competing for Jesus' attention, debating who will be the second in command, and trying to one-up each other for greatness in the kingdom. Clearly, they have succumbed to that dreaded disease I mentioned earlier, me-first-itis. They've taken competition with each other to a whole new level. No longer is this about who gets the last dip of hummus or the last piece of pita. And there's a great truth here for all of us, even in the church, since in the church we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We too can be prone to sibling rivalry. Happens every time we get caught up in petty arguments about who is the greatest, who is worthy of more attention, or whose opinion counts more, or who should be in charge. Whether we recognize it or not, when we complain about doing more than our fair share of the work because others won't, or about who does too little around the church, or who we think is getting special attention, or who we think is too difficult to work with, friends, that's about rivalry, wanting to be first, wanting the seat at the right hand. Whenever we fall into this all too often repeated pattern of self-importance, we succumb to me-first-itis, the disease of sibling rivalry that divides rather than unites. And when that happens, as bad as that may sound, we miss something so much more important than who is first or the greatest or the favorite. We miss the chance to be present with Jesus in all his glory. We miss the opportunity for God to share something bold and exciting with us. A vision of the kingdom, the future, our hope for tomorrow. Every time we get caught up in ourselves and our own agendas, it's because we've stopped listening to Jesus and missed yet another chance to hear the still small voice of God. And friends, I am as guilty of this as anyone. Jesus chastised his disciples then, and perhaps he chastises us still today when he says, "Whoever wishes to be greatest among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave to all." So, if you truly want to be great in the kingdom of God, it's not about how many people are below you, it is about how many people are above you. If you truly want the attention of our heavenly parent, it's not about how many people serve you, it's about how many people you serve. When we follow Jesus, it isn't about who you are better than, it is who you help to be better. It's not about the glory you get, it's about the glory God gets through you. If you want to be first, you must be last. Because the kingdom of God is not a contest. You have to win to be a part of. Kingdom of God holds more than enough of God's love and attention for everyone. Instead of being self-involved and self-absorbed and self-centered, worried about our own redemption and our own place in the kingdom, if we will make the choice to put others first, the kingdom will thrive and we will thrive in it. Friends, that truth is true and trustworthy and sure. There is enough of God's love for everyone, no matter how great or small the world may see them. The whole idea that there might possibly be some kind of hierarchy of God's love in the church is something we have concocted, and we've made it up out of whole cloth because we've fallen victim to our own folly. And when we do that, everyone loses. But when we serve one another, when we seek to be a servant and a slave, then God is glorified and everyone wins. May we all seek to serve one another inside and outside the walls of this church, no matter when or where or what or who or how. And if we'll all do that, then the world will actually be a better place. And God be the glory. Amen.